Welcome to Earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my underground lair.
You're listening to the Generation Y podcast, covering everything from the 90s and early 2K.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's
and
Day.
Hello.
Hi.
What kind of high was that?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. So, I don't know where to go from that. Totally derailed my whole thought train.
We had hibachi Japanese food for dinner.
Oh my gosh, was that good.
And I have a food baby right now. I'm really uncomfortable.
Food/wine
and
baby.
I couldn't stop. I just had cookies too when we got home.
Okay, it's Valentine's Day. People get you goodies because they love you. And it's the one day of the year. Actually, that's not true because Christmas is also a day.
We say that every holiday. We're like, it's the one day a year where you can eat. And then like 2 weeks later, there's another holiday. It's the one day a year where you can eat all these desserts. And then we just keep eating desserts.
But you get into a stretch like, I feel like you have Easter, and then after that you get a stretch where like, what's next? 4th of July. So you got like
hot dogs.
You got a good like 3-4 months of there's no excuses. You can't be like it's the one day of the year because there's nothing. Nobody's birthdays that we know. You know, like your mom's is coming up and
yeah,
mine's in April. Like after that we have no excuse.
True that.
It's like I stop being a fat person and eating all this stuff.
Stop.
I'm trying to get back into shape. Because, I mean, round is a shape, but I'm trying to get back into shape because, you know, talk about early 2K. Your humble host here, Josh, used to be in a rock band. I was thinking about that recently and how I used to play the drums because I haven't played the drums in years, like 8 years. And so I got my drum set here in the house now, probably to the horror of my neighbors. Because I'm sure they don't like it.
They can get over it.
And I've been playing the drums, play along with like some CDs and some 90s music. And I realized how horribly out of shape I am compared to the way I used to be. Because when I was in a band, we toured and stuff. So I was playing like all these gigs. And
I'm trying to get him to come to jazzercise with me.
Playing the drums is definitely a workout.
Why don't you come to jazzercise with me?
Nah, not my thing.
You can come to one of my classes.
I totally support you and your jazzercising.
I'll make you do some planks.
I totally support you and your jazzercising, but it's not something that I'm doing. I'm a drummer, I have rhythm, but I can't dance. So it's, I end up on the floor in a heap, and everybody would point and laugh at me and
we
say,
would.
What's wrong with your dumb husband on the floor in a heap?
I don't know. I would just keep going and laugh.
Anyway. Wow. Hopefully Jazzercise Corporate doesn't hear that. You're going to laugh at a customer?
No.
Who's fallen over and can't get up?
I wouldn't.
Oh well, like a turtle. You know when a turtle gets over like on their shell and they can't like roll over because the shell's curved? You're on the floor. Please, someone help me.
I have to go over there and like poke you and roll
pretty
you
much,
over.
Pretty much.
Okay, we're like way off
wow.
topic.
3 minutes of nothing but talking about me, you eating too much, having a food and wine baby, and me being fat. All right. Welcome to the Generation Y podcast. Covering 90s and early 2K, and today we're going to do one of my loves, which I'll briefly get into because I don't want to bore people, but one of the things that, don't nod your head, one of the things that I'm really into that is like a 90s thing is collecting Laserdiscs. I'll get into a little bit in a minute what Laserdiscs are, kind of explain what they are, where they came from, and why they're important to the 90s, because they were really big. They hit their peak in the 90s, they were around, you know, since the 70s, but they got really big in the 90s and they died out before the 90s were over because DVDs came out. But something I hold near and dear to my heart, and it kind of is what inspired our topic this week, which is 90s blockbuster movies. So these aren't necessarily movies that are our favorites, even though I think every one of these I've seen and like, but they're movies that sold really well and did really well, in not only in home video, but at the box office, at the theater. So
some oldies but goodies.
Yeah, they're all good. I know at some point we'll probably do another one of these, so I like to call this part one because there's way more than 10 of these movies that did well in the 90s. And I figure part two we'll talk about VHS because, like, for you, you rented a lot of movies in the 90s with your parents and you guys were watching them on VHS, right?
Yeah.
Where me, we didn't really rent movies in my house, but I had friends that rented movies and I remember going to friends' houses.
You didn't go to Blockbuster when you were...
We didn't have a Blockbuster. Well, actually, that's not true. We did in my town later on. But no, not really.
And yeah, that's right. You grew up in, like, East Bum. You can't swear on this show.
I have to censor you?
I'm sorry.
I grew up in a rural little town. It wasn't far from civilization, though. Now they got everything. I go back now, 10 years after, you know, not living there, and there's, like, big store, and they got a couple new restaurants, and it's all fancy now. But, yeah, growing up, there was, like, 3 trailer parks and 2 used car part stores and a junkyard. That was about it.
Sounds like fun.
There wasn't much there. But I had friends who had Laserdiscs, and that's kind of where I remember watching movies at friends' houses on Laserdisc, and that's kind of what grew into my love of this. But we'll do that. We'll go over some 10 amazing blockbusters and talk about what we think about the movies. I think you've probably, maybe a couple you haven't seen.
I think I've seen most of them.
But before we do that, we want to get into our new segment, which is 20 years ago this week. So every week now, we're going to go look back 20 years ago and talk about the big news stories that took place 20 years ago. Is 1996. Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy. I'm trying to think of what I was doing in 1996. I was 8.
I know one of the things I was doing, because it's on our list this week, and I saw it in theaters, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh. I was 8.
You were 8?
What was I doing when I was 8? Was I in 3rd grade?
I can't do that math in my head.
3rd grade. So weird to think about. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'll say a couple things.
So, well, hold on. Let me explain what we're going to do every week.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to do top news stories every week at the beginning of the episode, and we're doing 20 years ago, so they'll all be 1996. We're also going to talk about the top 10 hits from that week in the 90s, and we'll probably play a couple clips, but this isn't like a full-fledged...
To jog your memory.
Yeah, this isn't a full-fledged music thing, because we're going to do more of those episodes that we did previously with clips of every song. But, yeah, so we were a little late with this podcast coming out because I worked long hours the last couple of days, but generally we're going to do like a podcast is usually out on Friday, so we'll do like a Friday to the following Thursday type thing. So I went in the Wayback Machine and online. That's a website, you know that? The Wayback Machine? You can like type in, like you can go to like Yahoo or Google. And, like, you can look at different dates, and you can go back to, like, the beginning of the website and see what it looked like.
Oh, that is awesome.
So I went on some news. I went on CNN in the Wayback Machine that week and looked and saw what the headlines were.
That is the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's
cool. My gosh. If you guys get
a chance
to do that,
Internet Archive, which they have a lot of really cool stuff on there. But it's called the Wayback Machine. So there's a couple of good things in here. You want to talk about one of them?
Yeah. So Happy Gilmore was released this week.
Yeah, on the 16th of February. That's the one I was talking about. I saw this movie in theaters.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. I love
that. Like the
Adam
weekend
Sandler.
That it came out.
I used to have, fun fact about Amy, I used to have a huge crush on Adam Sandler, and Josh gets really jealous.
I do.
But I don't know why. But everybody's always like, why Adam Sandler? And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what it was about Adam Sandler.
You know what it is? You have a thing for goofy looking guys. First him, now me. I understand now.
I don't
it
think
makes
he's
sense.
Goofy looking.
Yeah, yes, he's goofy looking.
I don't know. There was just something about him when I was younger that I was, like, super into.
I love me some Adam Sandler.
He's so funny.
He's so funny. Well, not now. Now it's getting bad.
Sometimes movies are no good, which makes me so
sad. We'll have to do an episode about Happy Gilmore at some point.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a fun episode.
All right. Let me pick one. That's not... There's a bunch of stuff here, but a lot of it's boring. A lot of it, we're joking off mic, a lot of it's, like, Mexico charges people for cocaine. It's like, well, nothing's changed in 20 years. Oh, here's a good one. On February 13th of 1996, Tupac Shakur releases his first, the first ever rap double album, 2 CDs called All Eyes on Me, and it was one of the most influential albums in hip-hop history and reached number one on the Billboard 200 charts. I never listened to Tupac growing up.
I was never
into
him
either.
I'm
sure someone's going to write an angry email, but I was always a Notorious B.I.G. guy.
Yep, I was too.
And well, at the time it was Puff Daddy, now he's...
Puff Daddy.
Well, then he was P. Diddy. Man. And then he's Sean Puffy. I don't know what he is
Sean
now.
Sean Puffy.
Sean Puffy Combs or something. I can't keep track of it all.
Diddle.
But, no. Not Diddle. But, yeah, I loved me some... You all right?
Yeah. I'm going to look up what he's...
I loved me some Notorious B.I.G. back in the day. I was not a Tupac person, but that is one of the most famous albums in rap history. Let's see, anything else? Probably the only other thing that's real interesting this week, 20 years ago, is on the 17th of February in Philadelphia, Garry Kasparov.
Sean John Combs.
Is that what he's calling himself now?
Yes.
Okay.
I googled it.
Thank you for that tidbit.
You're welcome. Just kidding. Sean Combs announced his name change back to Puff Daddy.
Really?
He needs to make up his mind.
He's just making his damn mind what he's doing.
Well, that was back in 2014. I don't know what's updated now.
Look at his, wait, go back. Look at his Wikipedia. This is magical for a podcast and they can't see what we're doing. But look at all of his names. Diddy, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Puffy. Why do you want to be called Puffy? Puffy's like when I eat too much soy sauce and I blow it up. Puffy.
Oh my god.
Okay, so where was I? Oh yeah. So there was, this is kind of cool because I'm a nerd when it comes to technology. So IBM back in the early 90s started developing this giant computer. It's a really big computer called Deep Blue. And the sole purpose of this computer was to play chess. And so they challenged a guy named Garry Kasparov, I believe is how you pronounce it. Hopefully I didn't butcher that too bad, to a tournament. And so the first game, the computer won. And so on the 17th of February, 1996, Garry Kasparov beats Deep Blue in a second match. They actually ended up playing six matches, and the computer won overall against the guy, which really, really made him angry.
But imagine how smart he was, though, to be able to beat that computer even more.
Yeah, the crazy thing is they're saying now, like, that computer that was big, I mean, it was the size of, like, an entertainment stand, like, it's a large computer. Now, like, this laptop that we're recording the podcast on could essentially do the same thing, just with software. Yeah. So in 20 years, we've come a long way.
Definitely.
All right. Yeah, the rest of stuff's all, you know,
let us know if you like.
And
let us know if you like what we're doing with these segments and what you think.
Or if you have ideas for a new segment.
Well, yeah.
We'll give away contact information at the end of the
And I think, podcast. Did we decide if we're going to do a commercial? A 90s commercial?
I don't have one for this week, but something we might start doing.
Yeah.
I think definitely next week we should play the trailer or something for next week. We're going to be doing a movie spotlight, which we'll give away at the end of the show. And we'll do the trailer or something.
Hint, it's something that's coming out soon.
Something that's out. Sequel. It's out right now.
Oh, it is out.
It's out
just
right
kidding.
Now. All right.
A sequel.
Now to move on so we can get to our main topic here. Big hits from this week in the 90s. This would be this week in 1996.
Okay, so starting from number one, One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men.
I love that song.
Which is such a good song, but sad.
It is sad.
Sorry, I've never told. Now it's too late to hold you, 'cause you've flown away.
Number two, Exhale, Shoop Shoop by Whitney Houston, which I cannot think of what that song is. I'd probably know it if I heard it. Let's see. Missing by Everything But the Girl. One of Us by Joan Osborne, Hey Lover by LL Cool J, Not Gonna Cry by Mary J. Blige.
You like Mary J. Blige? Were you big into her?
There were like two songs that I liked.
I never liked her.
I liked
her.
That No More Drama song and that, I don't remember the name of the other song. It was some like dancey song.
Hmm.
Everybody's gonna like.
Ooh, I'm excited. It. Number seven. This is one of my favorites.
Name by the Goo Goo Dolls.
So here's another thing. So this album came out. So probably like, I do come out in 96, if now names in the charts are like late 95. I saw them in concert, I think in 97, they came to our local little fair and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. They played this whole album, Name, Black Balloon, Name is a different album. I'm totally sorry. 98. I saw them in concert. So Name is the album before the one that had Iris and Black Balloon and the album called, I think, Dizzy Up the Girl was the name of the album. So this was A Boy Named Goo. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yep.
And Name, but Name was like their first big hit. I love this song, though. It's a good song.
It is a good song. So number eight, really famous, was in a lot of movies, including Romy and Michelle.
I think of like a horrible like dance club.
When yeah.
I hear this.
Oh, it was in a dance club in Romy and Michelle. Be My Lover by LaBouche. We should play a clip of that one because everybody will recognize.
We'll play
that
a couple clips here. That was like the song for school dances when I was like, because at this point would have been like middle school almost. You know, I'm 2 years older than you. You so yeah, fifth, sixth grade. Yeah, we were doing dances at that point.
Yeah. La da da dee da da. La da da di da da da. La da da di da 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 di da da da. All right, number nine, Nobody Knows by the Tony Rich Project. Number 10, Breakfast at Tiffany's by Deep Blue Something.
I love that song.
That is a good song.
The weird thing off mic, we were talking, like, that song, I hear that, like, or I see this list, and, like, I was surprised that it was 1996.
I thought it was earlier.
I thought it was, like, 92, 93, yeah. Something like that, yeah. All right, cool. That
Top
was
10.
It'll be interesting to see, like, every week when we do this, like, where things move and who disappears and what new song shows up on there. This list I take from the Billboard Hot 100, Billboard Top 200. So at some point, and so that's kind of like all genres combined. So I'm sure at some point we're going to have some country gems on there too, because as a kid, when I was this age, you know, I've always been kind of like a rock guy, but I listened to a lot of country. I was a big Garth Brooks fan then.
Don't play country for him now, he'll yell at you.
Oh, I hate country. I like Keith Urban and Brad Paisley, that's about it.
Yeah.
I was listening to the other day, and some guy was like, he was rapping. In a country song, I'm like, what is this?
It's like pop country.
It's gross.
Made to sell records.
You know, when they say, people say that I'm like stuck in the past, like I'm definitely stuck in the 90s.
Oh,
like,
I totally am.
I sit at work and I'm listening to, what was I listening to the other day? Hootie and the Blowfish at work. and my coworker walks by and he's like, really? Like, you don't listen to anything new? And I'm like, hey, it's good music.
I'm the same way. 90s on 9 on Sirius Radio.
I told him we had this podcast and he might try to listen to it.
Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh, he totally should. That's funny.
He's like, you really are stuck in the 90s. I'm like, I absolutely am. All right. So, really quick before we get into talking about our 90s blockbuster movies, part one, because I'm sure we'll do another one at some point. Let me talk a little about Laserdiscs and why that they're important to me. And actually, I have my Laserdiscs sitting in front of me right now. I have a bin full of them. So, growing up, like I said, I had friends that had a Laserdisc player, and I would go to their house, and we'd rent movies, because there was a place in Burlington. So we live in Vermont. I mean, I don't think it's a big secret. We've talked about that before. There's the major city in Vermont is Burlington, Vermont, which is probably like
city.
It's probably like a small town compared to. I'm sure we got guys that listen to this podcast.
No,
like
Vermont is not in Canada.
Not in Canada.
Before you ask,
part of the U.S.
It pretty much. Is in Canada.
Oh, we're up there far north. It's,
we want a Tim Hortons.
It's negative 17 degrees.
If anybody's
right now.
Listening from Canada,
I love Tim Hortons.
We want your Tim Hortons.
So there was a Laserdisc rental place in Burlington. So he would go get movies and we'd watch them when I had to go hang out at his house. And then the other thing was when I was in school, we watched a lot of like informational movies. There's a lot of educational stuff on Laserdisc. So.
Didn't
folks,
you watch Voyage of the Mimi on Laserdisc?
Voyage of the Mimi, I did. I love that.
And he was trying to
with
find
with a young
it.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I remember
yes.
that.
I love Voyage of the Mimi. They were on like a boat, and they're doing like science experiments. It was really corny, but I ate that stuff up. So, I don't know where I was. Oh, okay. Yeah, so Laserdiscs, best way to think of them is if you guys know what a record looks like, it's that same size. It looks like a giant DVD.
I was going to say, it's just like an enlarged DVD.
But the difference is, the reason why it's that big is because a DVD is digital. This, Laserdisc is analog. And I'm not going to get into details of like what that difference is, but basically think of it this way. a Laserdisc, when you're looking watching like a movie on Laserdisc, if it's analog, it's pretty much a direct cut of, because back then everything was still on film. It's a pretty good representation of what the movie looked like in theaters. Because now everything's digitized and it all looks different. And everything's about HD. This was great audio, great video. It was way better than VHS at the time. And in the 90s, the reason why we're talking about this today, in the 90s when it really blew up, it actually was in some ways cheaper than VHS, or at least a pretty close equivalent. Because when this first came out in the 70s, it was so expensive that you had to be rich to afford one. It was like $1,000 for a player. It was like $100 a disc.
So why were schools using these things? Did they get some sort of donation?
Because there was some big grants and money.
Okay.
Yeah, the big grants and money. And remember, that's still, there's still the 90s. So players had gone way down in cost. You could get a VCR was $400. Laserdisc player was $250. It was actually cheaper than a VCR because some of the grants and things. Real quick history. A guy named David Paul Gregg in 1958 decided, hey, it'd be really cool if we put movies on a disc. And he never quite got it to work. In 1969, he sold the patents to a company called Philips. You've heard of them, I assume?
Yeah.
And they were working on a reflective video disc system at the time, and so kind of like a giant CD. And they took what Greg had worked on and what they'd worked on, combined it together, and worked with a little-known company called MCA, which they were huge for a while. And they came up with something called DiscoVision. You don't get much more 70s sounding than DiscoVision. And
even the artwork for DiscoVision is so 70s.
Oh, so 70s. So in 1978, they released it for consumers. Again, it was like $1,000 for a player, and a movie was like $100. So it was not something that picked up right away. But strangely enough, in the initial cities, like Atlanta, Georgia was one of the places where they first started selling it, it sold out. Like, there was enough rich people to buy them that they sold out of them. So,
wow.
As the 80s went on, VHS was huge. The problem with VHS is that it wears out as you play it. Like, do you ever have any movies that you wore out as a kid?
Yeah.
So, the thing about it, a Laserdisc is it's a laser reading it. So, as long as you don't scratch it, as long as you don't get it real dirty, if you take good care of it, it will play, or so they said, forever. There's issues that we won't get into, like laser rot and some weird things that happen to some of these discs over time. But, you know, I have discs that are 30 years old in my collection, and they still play great. In the 90s, this really got big. Siskel and Ebert, I don't know if you ever remember them. They used to do that show. They were like two thumbs up or two thumbs down or whatever. They would rate movies.
Yeah.
It was on TV. They started talking a lot about Laserdiscs because the video quality was so much better than a VHS tape. But unfortunately, by the end of the 90s, because Laserdiscs were the first ones to come out with, they did special features, they did trailers on the disc, they did things like commentary of audio tracks, you know, all these cool things that they actually, other companies stole, and they turned it into what now is DVD, so which was smaller, a lot more smaller and compact. But for me, there's a little, you know, special spot in my heart for it because I love how big they are. I love how big the artwork is. If you're collecting something, it's like a really cool thing to collect.
There's a whole Laserdisc community, and I didn't know this until I met Josh. They're so into collecting these things.
Come on.
There's a whole, like, a database that they're all on there buying and selling. And
you have to admit they're cool. Like would you really have a, like we were watching, what did we watch the other day with our daughter? We were watching a Disney movie, Aladdin. And would you rather have Aladdin, like, on the VHS or, like, the DVD? Would you rather have the big, cool, full-color sleeve with, like, all the cool artwork on
it?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's definitely collectible now, and kind of like records are making a comeback. These things, they won't be anywhere near as good as records in terms of the comeback, but these things are, people are kind of going, seeing them at garage sales and going, hey, that's kind of neat, and they're buying them. So I've definitely seen a resurgence in them, which makes me excited.
Yeah.
Enough with that. If you guys have any questions about Laserdiscs, or if you have some yourself, or you remember in the 90s, because they were huge in the 90s, you could go into Tower Records, which for us, the closest one was probably Boston. So I didn't go to it. But Tower Records was really big in a lot of parts of the country in the U.S. You could walk into Tower Records, and they had a whole Laserdisc section in the 90s, and they sold them like crazy. It was huge. It was a big deal in the 90s.
Sure. I bet Josh would appreciate if anybody's into Laserdiscs.
Oh, yeah. If you like them, or if you have any questions.
Tag us on Twitter or Instagram.
Or if you want to start a collection, I can definitely give you guys some advice.
Yeah. I've been really big on nerds. I'm just kidding.
Shut up. I've been really big on picking up all the 90s movies, so I'm like, all the Disney ones that I grew up watching, like all the classics. Like, I was so stoked when we watched The Lion King with Izzy.
That was cool.
I was so excited to watch The Lion King.
And you have to get up in the middle of the movie and flip the
disc. That's the one thing, yeah. You could fit basically an hour of video on a side. So, like, a record, you'd be watching the movie, and then you have to, hey, it's a good chance to take a pee break. You get up, you flip the thing, or go make some popcorn or whatever.
Snacks.
Exactly, snack break. I think it gives it its charm.
True.
The rules for our little list this week that we're doing is, it had to have been a movie that came out in the 90s. So, for instance, Star Wars re-released the original trilogy, got re-released in the 90s in theaters and on home video. We can't count that because it's not a 90s movie, okay?
Yes.
Originally came out in the 90s, and I took I looked at the LaserDiscDatabase.com, LDDB.com, and the old Billboard home video charts, and between the both of those came up with like some averages, and yes, I'm a geek, I did some math, and these are the 10 that I came up with that were like the 10 big, not only were they big in the theaters, but big selling LaserDisc videos that people went out and bought. Like, in the millions. Like, lots of purchases. So, I think you've seen probably most of these.
Yeah, I think so.
You ready?
I am.
All right. Number 10, as you count down.
Okay.
Number 10, because these aren't in any particular order. Independence Day.
Love this movie, and I love Will Smith.
We just watched this on LaserDisc.
It's so good.
Miss Complainer about, like, I'm not really into LaserDisc. You enjoyed it.
Okay, I can appreciate your interest in LaserDisc. I just think that they're just big, giant DVDs.
They're cool. They're not DVDs. So did you see Independence Day in theaters or were you too young?
No, I did not see it in theaters.
I remember seeing it. I think I saw it at the drive-in, I think. Then you guys have drive-ins still? If you do, write in and tell us about it. Cause
we still go to our drive-in.
I love going to the drive-in. But this was, you know, your big summer blockbuster movie. That probably one of the first ones. Now it's like every summer they have that big action movie that comes out in theaters that everybody goes and sees. And this was it when it came out. And I believe it came out in 96. So 20 years ago, this movie, almost 20 years ago, July, this movie came out in 96. This was the first big movie for Will Smith. This was before Men in Black, before Wild Wild West. This was, I think, I want to say he was either still on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or he had just gotten done with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I'm pretty sure he was still on it.
So you're going to Google while we're talking?
Keep talking.
The weird thing is that they list him as, like, the big star of this movie. And I looked at IMDb, and he's definitely listed first. But if you think about it, he's not in much of this movie. He's got a couple bits and pieces. You figured it out?
Final air date for Fresh Prince was May 20th,
96. This was the same year that finished. So he finished The Fresh Prince, went right on to doing this movie. All right, cool. A lot of big names. Will Smith, Bill Pullman, Judd Hirsch is in this. Randy Quaid, who's now actually lives in Vermont.
Oh my gosh, Randy Quaid.
He lives in Vermont.
Oh, I can't swear on here.
What?
I was going to say that quote from Vacation.
Yes, his famous quote from, let's play the clip and we'll just beep it out. I love him in that movie. Not 90s, but we're going to play it.
But no, okay, so Randy Quaid, he got arrested here in Vermont, right?
Well, for something that he got trouble in California. Kind of trouble in California for, I think, like, it's so weird, like, breaking and entering in his own, he owned a mansion, and then he, like, kind of, like, I don't know what happened, but he, like, lost some money.
And then he hid in Canada, right?
Yeah, he went to Canada. He was crossing through the border. They arrested him in Vermont. But he loves it here so much he decided he's going to live here. I'd love to, like, one day, like, see him and just be like, big fan, sir. Liked all your movies. But he's great in this movie. He's like the drunk crop-dusting pilot guy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Let's see who else is in here. I mean, the only other big one is Vivica A. Fox, who was kind of a 90s star. She was in this, and she was Will Smith's love interest. So this movie was huge. did $817 million in the box office and sold a whole bunch of Laserdisc and VHS tapes. And but there was a commercial during the Super Bowl. There is a sequel coming out to this movie.
Nuh-uh. There's
an Independence Day 2 coming out.
With Will Smith.
Will Smith is not in it.
I don't want to see it then.
But it's got Jeff Goldblum. It's got Jeff Goldblum.
Okay, but Will Smith is like...
It's got Bill Pullman. He's got the president in it again.
No.
You know what I found out, which is a spoiler for our folks at home, but Will Smith was not happy about this. They actually, if you go on the website for this, the new Independence Day, they say that Will Smith's character died.
What?
Yeah, like 2 years after the movie, he died like a training accident or something.
Okay, I'm definitely not seeing it now.
Oh, I'm totally going to see it. It's going to be amazing.
They always ruin movies.
Oh, stop it. They really do. You haven't seen it yet.
Like, the Dumb and Dumber one. What is it? The Dumb and Dumber 2?
See, that's why I'm nervous to go see Zoolander. That's out right now.
I've heard Zoolander was not good.
But we're going to go see it.
But
I'm nervous.
I am too. Oh, well.
Eh.
It is what it is.
So, quick synopsis. We're going to read quick synopsis of all these. I won't give away the endings or anything because I want people to have it. I mean, who hasn't seen this movie? If you haven't, you need to go, like, crawl out from under whatever rock you're living under. And you need to go buy this movie or watch it on YouTube or Netflix. Is it on Netflix? I don't know if it's on Netflix.
I don't know.
So, on July 2nd, communication systems worldwide are set into chaos by a strange atmospheric interference. They're like, what's going on? And you remember that scene where they showed Jeff Goldblum, who works for, like, Comcast or something, and he's sitting at his desk and he's like, why is all the TVs not working? And he discovers that there's some alien code buried into this thing that's blocking other signals. So, it is soon learned by the military that a number of enormous objects are on a collision course with Earth. They first think it to be a meteor or asteroid. Can we say Armageddon, anyone? And then they discover that they're actually gigantic spacecraft are piloted by mysterious alien species. So after attempts to communicate with aliens go nowhere, like flashing giant bright lights at them off of a helicopter that gets blown up, the next scientist named David Levinson, played by Jeff Goldblum, turned cable technician, discovers that aliens are going to attack major points around the globe in less than a day. So on July 3rd, the crap really hits the fan, and that's the amazing scenes that I think actually the best part of the movie is they blow up like the White House and they blow up New York City and everything's big explosions, L.A. It's kind of cool. And so there's a group of survivors that set out in convoys of, like, a bunch of RVs towards Area 51 because they think, maybe the government's hiding something there and they can help us. And so you bring in Will Smith. He's playing an Air Force pilot. And it ends up culminating in this gigantic kick-ass battle scene with tons of explosions. It's really, you got to see if you haven't seen it. It's pretty mindless. There's really not much of a plot here. It's a lot of things blowing up. But it's a cool movie. Special effects are good. It's cool. I won't give away the ending, but the president has a big speech. I still watch that speech, and it fires you up. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go punch an alien in the face.
Good morning.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yeah!
So you do that. Let me know how it goes.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Thanks.
Good movie. Got anything to say about that?
No. I've never seen
Number
this next
two,
one.
True Lies. We won't spend much time on this because this is probably my least favorite out of all the ones on here.
It is
a good movie. Directed by James Cameron, who did what? Well, the 90s movie did he do, James Cameron? Quickly. Did you play the Jeopardy theme song?
I don't know.
Titanic.
Oh, well, I don't know these things.
Come on.
I don't know who directs things.
So, James Cameron starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tom Arnold, Bill Paxton. I mean, there's Charlton Heston. There's just Eliza Dushku. There's this huge, like, they're all stars in this movie. And so, basically, the premise released in 1994 did almost $400 million at the box office. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays Harry Tasker, the guy who's leading a double life. Like, a long story short, because this movie's not one that I mean, it's okay. Like I said, I like all of these. This is my least favorite out of the bunch. His wife is really bored. Really, really, really bored with her life. She thinks that her husband's this boring computer repair person. He's not romantic. He's really dull. She's having an affair on him, or at least seeing someone else. They insinuate that they're sleeping together, and because she wants some adventure in her life. Little does she know, her husband's not a computer salesperson. He's actually a secret agent for the government, and so he decides to take her on an adventure that she'll never forget. And they end up trying to save the world, trying to basically, I think, from right, there's terrorists that had nuclear weapons and. He takes his wife along, and she realizes that he's not as boring as she thought he was. So it's a comedy action movie. It's kind of funny. It's got some good moments. You'd like it, I think. I know
if
you're
you were cheating on me, I would not take you on an adventure.
He really loves his wife.
I don't care.
He wants to get her back. Okay.
Next.
Number three. I would do impersonation when I'm bad with accents.
I probably haven't seen this since.
Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
That was really bad.
I was talking. I didn't do an
accent.
Oh,
okay. I know you're bad at accents, but that was really
bad.
Come on.
Forrest Gump. Everybody knows this movie, I think. Directed by Robert Zemeckis, who I believe did Back to the Future. If I got that wrong, I'm going to sound like an idiot. Tom Hanks, Gary Sinise, Sally Field. You know, really, really big, really good cast. This thing, released in 1994, did almost $700 million at the box office. And I think is one of the best movies of the 90s. Love, 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 love this movie.
I need to watch this because I know that I've seen it, but it's been so long that I don't even remember.
There's a restaurant, so you go to Florida, go to Bubba Gump's Shrimp Shack, and it's named after, it's from the movie, it's a restaurant, you can go eat seafood. Basically, Forrest Gump's a very simple man, low IQ, but good heart. His mama teaches him in the ways of life and leaves him to kind of choose his own destiny and make his own way. The thing that's neat about this movie is you think it's 1994, and the special effects that they used to make this movie, you've seen it, right?
A lot.
So you have Tom Hanks in a scene with John Lennon, who, obviously, if you know John Lennon, he was shot in the 80s. You have Tom Hanks in a scene with President Kennedy, who, you know, assassinated in the early 60s, like, they somehow were able to, they must have used computers, put him in all these different historical moments, and it actually looks somewhat believable for a movie from the early 90s. It is a little bit dated now at this point, a little bit, but mm-hmm. It's still a good movie. And he's in love with this girl, Jen A, and he
what?
Runs all over the world.
Jen A?
I love you, Jen A.
Oh.
Jenny. Like I said, calls her Jen A.
Like I said, accent bad.
Stop.
Jen A.
Shut up. So, good movie. Great soundtrack. The soundtrack's all songs from the 60s, so it's not like a 90s soundtrack, but it's a good soundtrack. Good movie.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Number four. You love this movie. I also have this on Laserdisc. Number
yes!
four. Men in Black.
I love the theme song. It makes me so happy. I don't know why, but I love Will Smith.
The music video.
Yeah, the music video is good.
It's great.
Will Smith is awesome. And I love alien movies, which is why I really like Independence Day. Signs is like one of my favorite movies. I just love alien movies. So this is so good. And if you haven't seen it, then we can't be friends because you need to see this movie. It's so good. It's a classic.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Will Smith.
1997, Tommy Lee Jones, Will Smith. They're the Men in Black. They're the, those guys that you hear about that show up at you know 3 a.m. and knock on your door if you've seen a UFO crash and tell you that don't tell anybody and we're the government. And they either make you go away or they make you forget. And actually based off of a comic book. And I'm a comic book reader and I didn't know that. It was actually a comic book that Marvel did called The Men in Black that they based this movie off of.
Good to know.
Yep. So there's a private agency named the MIB. And they basically deal all the extraterrestrial crime in the world. K is looking for a new recruit to be his partner, and he takes on J, which is played by Will Smith, and it's just great. K is, like, really stiff by the book, and J is, it's Will Smith. I mean, he's kind of street-talking, you know, real smart-alecky, like, fantastic movie. Oh, great, yeah. Great movie.
May I ask why you felt little Tiffany deserved to die?
Well, she was the only one that actually seemed dangerous at the time, sir.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
Well, first I was going to pop this guy hanging from the streetlight, and then I realized, you know, he's just working out. And how would I feel if somebody come running in the gym, bust me in my ass while I'm on a treadmill? Then I saw this snarling beast guy, and I noticed he had a tissue in his hand. I realized, you know, he's not snarling. He's sneezing. You know, ain't no real threat there. Then I saw little Tiffany. I'm thinking, you know, 8-year-old white girl, middle of the ghetto, bunch of monsters, this time of night with quantum physics books. She about to start some head. She's about 8 years old. Those books are way too advanced for her. If you ask me, I say she's up to something. And to be honest, I'd appreciate it if you eased up off my back about it. Or do I owe her an apology? That was a good shot, though, right?
So basically, you know, Agents J and K must stop this bug before you can escape with the galaxy. It's like in a keychain or something and ruin the whole universe. Great movie. Great music video, too, for that song.
It's the MIBs. Here come the MIBs. Guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't blink, be what was dead is now going black.
Next on our list, a Steven Spielberg classic, which scares the crap out of Amy.
Oh my God, Jurassic. Don't tell people that, they're going to laugh at me.
First, you told people at one point you're afraid of robots.
Maybe, did I mention that?
Maybe that was an earlier take that we got rid of.
Okay, fun fact about Amy. I don't know if I mentioned this.
No, I don't know if you did.
I am, like, so terrified of robots. I don't know what it is. They freak me out. I'll still watch movies like Transformers. Like, those are good movies, but they just give me awful anxiety. I don't know what it is.
So how about this movie? Because you're also afraid of dinosaurs.
I am afraid of dinosaurs. But mostly dinosaurs that are just, like, there's something about objects or things that tower over me, and I don't
like
it.
So what you're saying is if I was 7 feet tall, we wouldn't be married.
No. If I had to, like, look straight up at you, I'd be like, no thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, what if I'm a really nice guy and I'm just really tall?
No.
For freakishly large hands. I feel really sad now.
But you're not that tall. Oh, okay. Oh, this is awful. What if somebody who's listening is 7 feet tall?
We'll add that out. We won't, but if you're 7 feet tall, I want to be your friend because I'm really bad at basketball. And if I ever need to, like, play somebody in basketball, you're going to be on my team.
Yeah.
So Jurassic Park, Steven Spielberg movie, Sam Neill, Jeff Goldblum again popped up on our list. You know, Samuel L. Jackson's in this for a little bit. You know, it's a fantastic movie. John Williams, who is famous for doing, like, the music from a lot of, like, really good, like, Star Wars.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. $1.02 billion with a B at the box office.
That's huge for back then. I feel like.
On a budget of $60 million. Talk about return on your investment. Holy crap. Released in 1993. Spawned a whole series of Jurassic Park movies. I think there's been three of them. But this one's by far the best. So basically they find a way to extract dinosaur DNA out of a fossil. They decide, of course, because as humans we are just so smart that we're going to make dinosaurs again. I feel like it's something that we would actually do. I feel it's like, kind of believable.
And then it would, like, destroy the world.
Yep.
And be like, oh, what?
So they except an amusement park. Yeah, that's never going to go wrong. Basically like a zoo safari thing where they have dinosaurs behind electric fences and you can go and check out the dinosaurs and watch them in their natural habitat. And of course, what happens? Big storm, it's raining, power goes out, security systems go down, dinosaurs are on the loose, a bunch of people get eaten, a bunch of people get crushed. Your typical, like, horror, thriller, action movie, but with dinosaurs eating people. It's awesome. Awesome, awesome movie. Come on, I mean, Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida has a whole section of their theme park. That's Jurassic Park, because this is, like, one of the best movies of the 90s. Have you watched the whole thing all the way through?
No.
You never have? What do you do? Like, you just, like, you turn away, you can't watch it?
No, it's not, the graphics are not that believable.
So, for 1993, they are.
Yeah, but I mean, like, now. I'd watch it now.
Oh, it's awesome.
I'd watch it.
I'm going to force you to watch it this next weekend.
Okay.
We're going to watch Jurassic Park. All right, let's move on our list here. We just watched this one on Laserdisc,
this
too.
Is good.
So, one of the probably top action movies, summer blockbuster of the 90s, released in 1994, Speed, starring Keanu Reeves, Dennis Hopper, Sandra Bullock, and Jeff Daniels. Great movie. Made almost $400 million at the box office on a budget of $30
million. It's intense. It keeps your attention. If you haven't seen it, you really
You know what's weird about this movie? And we're not giving away any of the endings of any of these, I don't think. We have yet, have we? No.
I don't think so.
I watched this like two or three times as a kid, which is weird because it's kind of violent.
I thought you said it wasn't the right one. You watched the one when they're on the boat.
I think I realized I watched this one later on when we were watching it the other, like, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Like 2 months ago?
It wasn't that long ago. What are you talking about? 2 months ago, it was December, and I didn't have my player yet at that point.
Oh, just kidding.
It was a Christmas present from you. Whenever we were watching this, I realized that when I told you I thought maybe Speed 2 is what I'd watched.
Yeah.
There's that scene where they jump the bus. Like, it's ridiculous. They jump a bus over, like, an overpass. It's not even remotely possible.
No.
But I watched it. I remember that scene. So I had to have seen this.
It was on TV a lot.
I had to have seen this. What I don't remember is I don't remember, like, that whole intro, the first 20 minutes of the movie, like, with the elevator stuff.
I didn't remember that.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah. But basically, you got Keanu Reeves and Jeff Daniels play these two LAPD cops. Terrorist plants a bomb on an elevator, and these two guys save the day. So in order for him to get his revenge, he decides he's going to put a bomb on a bus, and the bus must stay above 50 miles per hour, or the bus explodes and everyone dies. And so his whole thing is he wants to get a bunch of money, and so he's holding these people hostage on this bus so he can get his money. Keanu Reeves, of course, being the superstar action hero that he is in this movie, jumps from a moving car onto the bus so he can also blow himself up too, apparently, and saves the day, falls in love with the girl, or tries to save the day. There's multiple times where you think he saved the day and then you find out that, nope, definitely hasn't saved the day, you're all gonna die. So just, it never, the entire time, you think it's resolved, and this is what's kind of why I think it's a good movie, you think it's resolved and you think that yay, he saved the day. And then, nope, the bomb's still ticking.
Yeah.
Yay, he saved the day. Nope, now someone's held hostage. Like, you never, until the very end, you don't know how it's going to end because it just keeps twisting and twisting and twisting. And it's a good movie.
It is good.
It's a good, good, good movie. Next one on our list here, number 7, is I love this movie. From 1992, Aladdin by Disney. Now, had you seen Aladdin prior to us watching it? We watched it a couple weeks ago with our daughter.
I did, but I was really young. I hadn't seen it in so long,
remember.
So I didn't remember any of it, but I loved it.
Starring,
I loved
here's
it.
A little bit of trivia for you, starring Scott, is it Wiener? Winger?
Yeah.
The guy who was famous for being DJ's boyfriend,
in
Steve,
Full House.
On Full House. We're watching Aladdin, and Amy goes, isn't that DJ's boyfriend? I'm like, no, it's not. And she Googles it, and sure enough, it's DJ's boyfriend, Steve, from Full House.
Yep.
Also starring Robin Williams. Now, unfortunately, sad, the late, great Robin Williams as the genie. What a fantastic movie this is. This might be my favorite Disney movie of all time.
It's great. It really
it's
is.
So good. It's quick. 90 minutes. You know, it's got Gilbert Gottfried as that bird, which the minute you hear the bird start talking, you go, hey, that's that guy that screams during all of his comedy things. Like, movie did $504 million and was kind of what launched. This movie came out and what really kind of relaunched Disney making animated classics and paved the way for things like The Lion King and Mulan and some of these movies that came out later on.
I never watched Mulan.
What?
I never saw Mulan.
It's good. There's that Christina Aguilera song from that. Was it Reflection?
Reflection.
That's a good song.
It is a good song.
Number 8 on our list here, another movie from James Cameron and one that stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, who we've already mentioned previously. Terminator 2, 1991, $519 million at the box office. Now, you had never seen this movie before, and I made you watch the director's cut. Another thing LaserDisc are known for is you can get special editions of movies that at that time you couldn't see anywhere else. I have the director's cut special edition on LaserDisc. It's like 2.5 hours long. It's wicked long. Were you at any point bored watching that movie?
Not at all. It was so good.
The movie is amazing.
You almost kind of get attached to Arnold Schwarzenegger's character because you forget that he's not human.
Right. So for people who haven't seen the first one's pretty good, but this one's by far the best one of the series. There's a bunch of cyborgs. So robots, one of Amy's favorite things, called Terminators. So they're robots with like human flesh over them, which is kind of weird to think about. And Terminators are programmed to kill people, hence them being called a Terminator. And so in the first movie, the Terminator tried to kill this Sarah Connor, who's played by Linda Hamilton, and doesn't succeed. In the second movie, in this one, Terminator comes back, but now he's been programmed to protect Sarah Connor because the good guy has captured him, and this is Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, and programmed him to protect Sarah Connor and, more importantly, her son, John Connor, because they're going to save the world in the future. It's kind of a convoluted story, the whole, like, sending a robot back in time to prevent somebody from getting killed. If you kind of forget about that for a minute, set that aside, just watch it for the action. There's some great action. There's a Terminator that's trying to kill John and Sarah Connor, who is, like, made of, like, molten metal. So whenever he gets, like, shot with, like, a shotgun, it, like, heals up on him.
It's creepy.
It's really creepy. Think about that, 1991. Think about those effects for 1991. Like, that's groundbreaking.
The effects were really good.
I don't think they look dated even now. I think that it still looks good now.
Yeah.
So I remember there was that one scene in the movie that I think is my favorite scene, like, where the kid, John Connor's on a dirt bike, and the bad guy, Terminator's on, like, this big, like, big rig truck, which is also another thing you're afraid of.
So why are we talking about all of Amy's weird quirks?
It's weird that all your fears
we could have an entire episode of Amy's weird quirks. We so totally could.
It had nothing to do with the 90s or early 2K.
But it would be interesting. Then nobody would listen because they would all think that I'm crazy.
So the bad Terminator's in this gigantic trailer truck. And you have Arnold Schwarzenegger on a motorcycle, like a Harley, with a shotgun. It is just fantastic. So again, another movie that kind of twists and turns. You don't really know what's going to happen till the very end. And there's definitely some moments where you're like, oh, crap. This is going to have a sad ending. And it does in a way. I'm not going to give away what happens. It does have a little bit of a sad ending. But this is just a fantastic movie. And I would say it's one of the best action movies of all time.
Yeah, definitely. I agree there.
I feel like I'm starting to get you into, like, guy movies. Like, I'm starting to convert you into, like, a action movie junkie.
Maybe.
I am.
We'll see.
Oh, it's happening. So, at some point we'll have to do a Terminator 2, like, episode. Because that's a huge movie from the 90s.
Yeah, that'd be a good episode.
So, number 9 on our list. We mentioned before, The Lion King. Huge movie. Matthew Broderick does some voices.
Hidden,
James
things.
Earl Jones. Stop it. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who is famous from Home Improvement, does the voice of young Simba.
Ladies, JTT. Is that weird? You know, I always like say it's so weird because like the girls my age are like, oh my gosh, JTT. I used to have like such a huge thing for him, but he was like a little boy, and like we're still like, oh my god, JTT.
You are.
Well, I'm not.
It's news to me.
No, not. Oh my gosh, this is weird. Cut it out.
We're leaving this in.
No, it's like this in. So weird.
We're leaving this in. No, so I mean, as a young lady, you thought he was cute.
Yes.
Has anyone seen what he looks like at all now? I haven't.
Yeah. I've googled him.
Is he like weird looking now?
No, I don't think so.
Some of these people don't age so well. Let's see. Like, have you seen Macaulay Culkin? now from Home Alone.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. A little bit too much drugs.
We need to do a Home Alone episode.
He looks like a hipster.
Oh, he looks like you'd kind of think he would.
Yeah.
He doesn't change too much. Interesting.
But yeah, ladies, JTT.
So, premise of Lion King is a young lion named Simba is cast out of his pride by his cruel uncle who wants to take over the kingdom. And he ends up meeting Timon and Pumbaa, who are, I think, the best part of this whole movie.
I love them. They're so cute.
And he's faced with a challenge at the end. You know, this is your traditional, like, fairy tale type story. Does he go back and face his past and become the hero? Or does he run away from it and stay kind of an outcast, eating bugs and living with this a warthog and a... What was the other one?
A pig.
No, a warthog's a pig.
Oh.
What's the other thing? Is he like a meerkat or something? Like, what is he?
I don't even know. I don't know.
I don't know either. But fantastic movie. Great music. Had some songs in there from Sir Elton John. Like, The Circle of Life.
It's the circle of life. Faith and love, till we find our place, for the path unwinding, in the circle of life.
Great movie.
A meerkat.
I was right. I said meerkat. I called it. That's
well,
good,
are
huh?
You special?
That's good, huh?
Look how smart you are.
This thing did almost $1 billion.
Fancy.
I like Aladdin better than The Lion King, though, I think.
I grew up watching
I love
Lion
them
King
both.
More
I mean,
than Aladdin.
The reason why I have The Lion King and Aladdin and Beauty on the Beast. That's not... Beauty and the Beast.
It's not that kind of show.
Stop it. Beauty and the Beast all on Laserdisc, because these are all the movies I grew up watching as a kid. I loved all these. Fantastic. And last but not least, number 10, a movie that I watched over and over again, starring Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, Twister.
Another thing that I'm super fascinated by tornadoes. I love weather. I don't know why. I just really like weather. And tornadoes just fascinate me, and I used to love this movie as a kid. Didn't you have a thing for Helen Hunt?
I did.
So random.
I will not deny that. From this movie, actually. I've grown out of that now at this point as a grown man, but I did. I thought she was attractive. I'm not going to lie. So, also from 1996, you know, premise is TV weatherman Bill Harding is trying to get his tornado hunter wife, Joe, to sign divorce papers so he can marry his girlfriend, Melissa, who, by the way... This is completely off topic, but well, it isn't because she's in this movie. Melissa, the girlfriend played by Jamie Gertz, she was the mom on Still Standing.
I love her.
Jamie Gertz, so the girlfriend of Bill Paxton in Twister, it's kind of awkward
Judy.
Because he kind of reconnects with his ex, with his wife that he's trying to divorce.
Yeah.
And she ends up leaving. She played Judy on Still Standing. But Mother Nature, of course, throws a whole bunch of storms across Oklahoma, and so they decide to join together and chase after this tornado with a truck full of what appears to be beer cans that have been cut up. It's not very high tech.
No.
And then you have that one guy that's a real jerk, who is like the guy that's
like... It's been
like,
a long time since I've seen
this. You have that one guy who works for like the Weather Channel who has like $1 million worth of equipment.
Yeah.
That's a real jerk that doesn't listen to him. And
we gotta watch this.
It's a great, great movie. I've said about all these because they're all really good movies, but I love Twister. I go to Universal Studios in Florida, and I always go do, even though it's kind of lame, it's not a ride, but I go sit through that Twister thing because I think it's kind of cool. I watched Twister probably the summer that came out. I had it on home video, so I had it on a VHS tape, and I must have watched that thing like once a week.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I love that. I just love that movie. I don't know why. I've always been fascinated by like weather and like storms and thunderstorms and stuff.
You just stole my fascination.
It's true though.
Is that why we're married? Because we're into all the like, same weird thing.
Maybe. So, do you have anything else to add about any of these movies,
no?
My dear? Do you think we missed any? People are going to yell at us. I know
well,
we
yeah,
probably
of
missed
course.
Them. So, I mean, obviously, a bunch of movies that probably could be on this list that we didn't go over. And we'll do a part two at some point of this, and we'll talk about VHS. But in terms of home video sales, like Titanic is going to have to be on the list somewhere. Let's do this. If you think we missed one that should have been on this list, if you, you know, and obviously there's a bunch. But if there's a favorite of yours that was a big hit in the 90s that you want to see us talk about, write into us. We'll read a couple emails next week.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Email, generationypodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
Website, generationypodcast.weebly.com. You can use us the contact us form on there, too, if you want to write us there. I was kind of, like, redundant. Sorry.
That's all right.
If you want to write us there, you can contact us there.
There's a form, the clicky thing, clicky thing.
Yeah. So we got some. We asked you guys to, you know, email us and write us some reviews, and we got what we asked for. You guys are so awesome. I wanted to read a couple.
See, we are not the only ones stuck in the 90s.
I know. Everybody is our age. I feel like now because everybody's getting so nostalgic. So we got one on iTunes. Yes, someone got it right. Yeah, that's us.
Wait, we got something right?
We did.
You should be telling what I got wrong.
You need to
come. I'm so excited for this.
I was hooked from the first episode. I'm so thankful someone brought the 90s. I started watching them through Instagram, and now they're on their podcast. And they want to do, they want to hear Power Rangers, Bobby's World, old Disney cartoons.
Oh, Tailspin.
Yeah.
DuckTales.
Freakazoid. And let's see, we have people on Twitter saying that they can't get enough of us. We've gotten emails.
Yeah, that was a cool email. What's that email?
That email like literally made my
day.
It
made it like your whole week.
Yeah, from Rachel. Hey guys, I absolutely love the podcast. You mentioned a possible SNCC episode. She's
definitely
a diehard
coming.
SNCC fan. It's totally coming, Rachel. We will be doing a SNCC episode. Multiple SNCC
episodes. Yeah, there's so many different shows that were on SNCC.
I am a big SNCC fan, too. That's kind of where I am. Huge SNCC fan. The Orange Couch and... Oh, I love
would
it.
Would you put
Keenan
an Orange Couch, if you could, would you put an Orange Couch right in the middle of our living room?
No.
Are you that big of a fan?
I'd put it in, like, our hangout room. Like, the basement.
I don't know if that's good enough. I think I need it in the middle of the living room.
No, because not everybody would understand it. You'd get people coming over like,
well,
then
they're,
what
not,
is
they're
that?
Not our friends then.
That's true. True. Truth.
All right, cool. So this one will be shorter than last week's. That was like 100 million minutes.
Yeah.
Or it will be like around an hour. So upcoming pod, you want to give away what next week's is going to be about?
Yes. We're going to do an episode all about Zoolander because the sequel came out. So Zoolander, Ben Stiller. Oh, one of my favorite movies. That'll be fun.
I love Zoolander. And then, you know, coming up soon, like we talking like last week, we did 90s blockbusters this week and Laserdisc, so we already covered that. I think we had mentioned 90s foods, we'd mentioned SNCC. We had a request last week's review, somebody wrote in, they want to see...
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Are You Afraid of the Dark, yep. And some of the 90s scary kids type stuff, so I mean,
Goosebumps.
So we got a lot of cool stuff coming up.
I forgot to tell you, I went to a yard sale yesterday.
Yeah.
And I found a Goosebumps book, and I bought it.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So we got a lot of good ideas kicking. Again, Instagram, Facebook, email. If you have an idea for an episode or something you want to hear, please write to us. And at some point, we will. This is 100% promise. We will do some giveaways.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
I can't
not.
Wait.
I don't think I want to do it until we get like a certain number of like downloads a week, though. I think we want to set a target. But we'll figure out what that's going to be in the coming weeks here. This is our second episode back from... a long hiatus, but we'll do some giveaways at some point, so write in reviews, we'll have to get everybody's name in like a hat, and we'll pick a winner, and we will do some 90s stuff. We'll have to make a trip to Canada to buy some Dunkaroos.
Yeah. Oh, if anybody from Canada wants to
send us
some,
Dunkaroos,
email us, we'll give you our address. We love Dunkaroos.
Yes, we do.
I started a Facebook page that I haven't promoted at all. I should start promoting it. Dunkaroos movement. I don't even know if it's active.
I don't know why they haven't. I mean, for people who don't know, us folks here in the U.S., you can walk in, you know, you can walk into a grocery store in Canada, walk up to the shelf, and you can buy Dunkaroos. Why in God's name they haven't brought them back to the U.S. yet is beyond me when I can go to Canada and I can buy Dunkaroos.
Especially now. Now is like the perfect time.
Yeah, now Surge is back.
Ecto-Cooler. We have
Ecto-Cooler might be coming back.
French Toast Crunch.
French Toast Crunch. The old, which you never had, the old New York Seltzer or whatever it's called there.
Yeah, no, I never had that.
I used to drink that as a kid. That's coming back. Clearly Canadian. The soda's coming back. Clearly Canadian. So there's all this 90s stuff. Like, I think it's time that they bring back the Dunkaroos, I think.
Betty Crocker, if you're listening.
Is it Betty Crocker that makes Dunkaroos?
I think. I hope. Pretty sure. Betty
Whoever
Crocker.
You are.
Whoever.
Bring them back.
We want them. We want to dip in the frosting. Oh, I also, fun fact, real quick, I found this recipe for a Dunkaroos cake.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I'm going to make it.
My birthday is April 19th, and I want Dunkaroos cake on my birthday.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do it.
And on that note, We'll be back next week with more fun and games and Zoolander goodness. And, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Please subscribe. Please leave us a review, all that jazz. And we will see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.